Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we want to see you high and lifted up in all your glory. Thank you that you have revealed yourself in your scriptures, in your word. And Lord, we want the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts today so that we can see Jesus. And we can't see him physically, Lord, but the eyes of our heart can see him and grow in loving him. Lord, we need you to work in our hearts if this is all going to make sense to us. If we're going to apply this, if we're going to live out your word, we need your help. And we come before you pleading with you today to do that for us, to change us, to make us more like Jesus, to rid us of our sin and unrighteousness, to get rid of habits in our lives that draw us away from you, to make us more like Jesus. And as we study Ephesians 1, Lord, I pray that we would see you and see how mighty you are in the salvation you have accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. In your name, amen. Who are you? Can you answer that question? Who are you? This is a fundamental question of the human experience. And it drives people to do some interesting things, from teenagers trying to find themselves to college students trying to find a major, to adults trying to escape a midlife crisis. Maybe today you are wondering who you are. So today I would like to explain to you who you are as a Christian. Who you are as a Christian. And as we seek to answer this question, it would be utterly foolish to try to find the answer anywhere except for God's Word. We are going to look at Ephesians 1 today, the first 14 verses, and I want to delve into the riches that are here to discover who we are because of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read this passage for you, and I want you to do a little Bible study with me. I want you to count the number of times that in Him or in Christ are found in these 14 verses. So, as I read, try to count the number of references to Christ, in Christ or in Him. Very important phrase in this passage. So follow along Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. How many did you count? 12. 11 or 12, depending on what you count there. So there's in Him or in Christ or in the Beloved. Very, very key phrase in this passage. We are, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are in Him. And we're going to unpack that today. This passage is broken down into three parts. Verses 3 to 14. So verses 3 to 6 talk about what God the Father does in our salvation. And verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace. Verses 7 to 12 talk about what God has accomplished through the Son. And verse 12, to the praise of His glory. And in verses 13 and 14, what God has done for our salvation through the Holy Spirit to the praise of His glory. You want to know about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? This passage is chock full of what God has done for us in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to the praise of His glorious grace. The great news of the gospel is that who you are is rooted in what God has done for you in Christ. It doesn't start with something inside us, but it starts way outside us. God has accomplished our salvation for us by what Christ has done and has invaded our lives and given us new life. If you are a Christian, you belong to God because you are in Christ. Who you are is either in Christ or out of Christ. So who are you? Are you in Christ or out of Christ? Most important question in the universe to answer. So if you have your outlines in front of you, who you are depends on where you are. Who you are depends on where you are. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. Verse 3 reads this: God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are blessed or given riches in Christ. If you have believed in Christ as your Savior, God places you in Christ. In other words, when God looks at you, He sees Jesus. Our position is in Christ. Therefore, we have all the blessings that Christ has. We are not saved apart from Christ. We are not blessed apart from Christ. The spiritual blessings of salvation are ours because of our connection with Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual connection between the believer and Christ that is brought about by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that in verses 13 and 14. So, where are you spiritually as a person? Are you in Christ or out of Christ? And number two here, you are with Christ in heaven. Now, this is a tough one, but this is amazing. We are not only in Christ, but we are with Christ in heaven, which is where Christ is located. Spiritually, we are seated with Christ in heaven. I'm going to look down here in chapter 2 of Ephesians, starting in verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4. It says this: "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Verse 6, "And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are spiritually connected to Him. You are spiritually with Christ in heaven. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be with Christ forever. But now, spiritually, that's where you are if you're a believer. A tremendous reality that will change the way you live. Something that's very hard to see. You can't see it. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are with Him in heaven. It's an incredible privilege as believers that we're connected with Him. I would like to unpack five terms that explain who you are if you're a Christian. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior and belong to Him, you're in Christ. And these five terms describe you. So who are you? Who are you as a Christian? So number one, blessed. You are blessed, not cursed. You are blessed, not cursed. Paul blesses in verse 3, or praises God, because He has blessed us in Christ Jesus. Although we bless God in return, it's nothing like the blessing that God has given us. If you are in Christ, you are richer than any billionaire, more privileged than the most famous of people. You're not cursed, you're not condemned, but you are blessed. You are a spiritual trillionaire if you are in Christ Jesus. We are often distracted by the things on this earth. There are many physical things around us. But the spiritual and eternal blessings we have because of Christ are infinitely greater than any blessings you have on this earth. Now, Emily and I have been privileged to be tremendously blessed by you as a church family with all the gifts you've given us for Zachariah. And he's a very lucky guy to have all those gifts given to him. And we are so thankful for that. And that's a great blessing to have. But it's physical blessings that we are thankful for. But it is nothing compared to the spiritual blessings we have in Christ than the spiritual blessings we as the body of Christ have together. We might have suffering here on this earth, but it pales in comparison to the spiritual riches we have here and will have later in Christ. So, if you're looking for blessing and for riches on this earth, it's going to fail miserably because the only blessings that will last are the blessings that are in Christ Jesus. So, if you are in Christ, you are blessed and you're not cursed or condemned. Number two, you are chosen. You are chosen, not self-determining. You are chosen, not self-determining. Paul then expands what it means to be blessed in Christ. So what does it mean to be blessed? This is one of the ways. The first blessing he mentions is being chosen or predestined. Verses 4 and 5 read this, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will." Verse 4 speaks of God's choice of some people for salvation. Then verse 5 mentions predestination. Another way to say that would be determined, which expands on God's choice of us. Warren Wiersbe says this, "God's choice or election, God's choosing us, seems to be referred to people, while predestination in verse 5 refers to purposes." So let me break this down for you. Out of lost humanity, God selected some people for salvation, and he predestined or determined that those people would be adopted as sons and daughters. God's choice of you, if you're a Christian, has a purpose, that believers would be holy and blameless. God's choice of some people for salvation is based on God's purpose, not on the choice of those people. Now, obviously, this can be a controversial topic, probably one of the hardest topics in the Bible, and people can debate, have debated for thousands of years about this. So, but I think when it comes down to what we're getting at here is if we're chosen and predestined, what does this really mean? What's the heart of the issue? The heart of the issue is this. Is salvation something that we can initiate? Or is it something that God initiates? That is really the heart of the issue. If you are a believer today, did you choose to follow Jesus because you are more clever than your unbelieving neighbors? Did it make the most sense to you out of all the religions in the world? Oh, I'll choose Christianity. It makes the most sense. We as Americans love to choose. Now, let's say your wife sends you to Woodman's to buy pickles, and she doesn't tell you what kind you want. And you go to the pickle section at Woodman's, the pickle aisle. If you've been there, there's a lot of pickles. There are like hundreds of pickles. And that's this, go throughout Woodman's or Walmart. There are so many choices. I just want to buy ketchup. I don't need organic, ketchup. I just want regular ketchup. I don't want, purple ketchup. I want red ketchup. It can be ridiculous at times. We as Americans love to choose. Salvation is not one of those things that we can unconditionally choose. We choose to believe in Christ because God first chose us before the foundation of the world. And he worked in our lives by the Holy Spirit to bring us to faith in Christ, to work in our hearts so that we chose Jesus above everything. The fact that God has chosen us for salvation should cause us to bow down in worship and fear before him and to praise him that he has shown mercy to even us, because without Christ, we would have been lost forever. We are fundamentally not self-determining when it comes to our own eternal destiny. And we will be eternally grateful that God has not left us to ourselves, but that God has worked in our lives to bring us to salvation. So we are blessed. We are chosen. Number three, we are adopted. We are adopted. We are not orphans. We are adopted, not orphans. God has chosen us to be his sons and daughters. This is a tremendous reality, that we can be children of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus. We are not orphans, we are not lost, but we are finally home when we are children of God. Now, none of us grew up in perfect homes. Not everyone here had both parents raise you. Not everyone had parents who loved them. But the great news of the gospel is that because of what Christ has done for you, you have a perfect family, a perfect father, and a perfect brother in Jesus Christ. You cannot have the perfect family here on earth. But in Christ, if you belong to Jesus, you are part of God's family. So that's who you are. You are God's child. Number four, you are forgiven. You are forgiven, not guilty. You are forgiven, not guilty. Verse 7 tells us we have redemption through Christ's blood. That means his death on our behalf. Redemption means to rescue. God has rescued us from sin. We are forgiven from our sins because of Christ's sacrifice for us. We are no longer guilty, condemned, and hell-bound, but we are forgiven. If you are living with the burden of your sin, and if you are a Christian, there is forgiveness in Christ. You are free from the eternal penalty of sin. You are free from sin's power in your life, and in the end, you will be saved from the presence of sin forever. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sin, God will forgive us and cleanse us from our sin." The proper response to knowing that you are a forgiven person as a Christian is to turn from your sin and to follow Jesus. So all these blessings are according to the riches of the grace that God has given us. They're all according to the riches of the grace that God has given us. That's verse 7. What is grace? Grace is God's power to bless us based on what Christ has done. Grace is God's power to bless us based on what Christ has done. Because of what Christ has done for us, God is free just to shower us with so many blessings. Paul lets us know that everything that God has done for us and will do is according to God's master plan. That's verses 9 and 10. We're not going to delve into verses 9 and 10 too deeply, but basically this is what Paul is pointing out. God's grand plan of salvation for us, he had that planned out a long time ago. God's plan can only take place because of Christ. And the plan will be completed when the whole universe is in submission to Christ. Let's move on to number 5. Number 5, we are heirs. We are heirs, not futurists. In verse 11, Paul explains that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come in our spiritual blessings. We have a tremendous inheritance because of our connection with Christ. Again, he says, this is all according to God's grand master plan. Proof that eternal life, heaven, and eternity with Christ are ours, God gave us the Holy Spirit. So you want to know if the best is yet to come? Paul says, God gave you a down payment for what is yet to come, and that is the Holy Spirit in our lives. New life in Christ is an overwhelming privilege here on earth, but it's just a sliver of what is to come. We have a future as bright as the sun, but we can only see a little bit of it right now. You think retirement is going to be great? From what I've heard, it's not all that too exciting. You can ask someone who's retired around here. But saving up for a better life on earth will lead to disappointment and spiritual death. So if you're thinking that you're going to have this great life here on earth and you're planning for it and saving for it, you're going to be sorely disappointed because the best life that you have is in Christ, and it's not here, it's later with Christ in heaven. We have an eternal inheritance that will blow our minds. When we don't focus on the eternal riches we have, we will lose sight of them. We are not futureless. We do not have a future in this world, but we do have a very bright future in Christ. So who are you? Who are you as a Christian? You are blessed. You are chosen. You are adopted. You are forgiven. You have an eternally bright future. This is who you are. So I have 3 points of conclusion or application. So number 1, are you in Christ or not? Are you in Christ or not? I have shown you some incredible blessings that believers have. However, if you are not a believer, if you are not in Christ, these blessings are not yours. They do not define who you are. There are only 2 categories of people in this world: those who are in Christ and those who are not. If you are not in Christ, you are not blessed, but cursed and condemned. You are left to yourself, you are not forgiven, but guilty before God. You are not adopted into God's family, and you have a very dark future in hell. Then how do you get in Christ? Verse 13 makes it clear. When you hear the word of truth, that is the good news about what Christ has done on your behalf, you believe that it is true and claim it as your own. You believe that your only hope and salvation are to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to be accepted by God the Father. So, if you're wondering if you're in Christ or not, the way to become in Christ is to trust that Christ has paid the penalty for your sin and believe that He is your only hope and your only salvation from sin. That's how you become in Christ. So the main question here, are you in Christ or not? Very, very important. Number two, where is your identity? Where is your identity? If you belong to Christ, if you are in Christ, your identity is found in Christ. We will be tempted to find who we are in many other places than in the place that God wants us to find, and that's in Christ. So if I was to ask you, who are you, how would you respond? You might respond, I am a teacher, an engineer, a tradesman, an administrator, or I'm a mother, I'm a wife, a husband, a father, a grandparent. All those things are great things to be, by the way. All these things are given by God so that we may glorify Him by doing them. But if we define ourselves by these earthly callings, we will stray from how God wants us to think about ourselves. How do I know where I'm finding my identity? I'm talking about finding your identity. It might be kind of a weird thing to talk about, but here is a couple of clues to where you're finding your identity. Where are you most worried you will fail? Where are you most worried you will fail? That could be a clue to where you're finding your identity. Or what makes you most angry or disappointed when you mess up? These could be clues to where you're finding your identity. I could find my identity as a pastor. Being a pastor is a good thing, but I'm a part of the body of Christ just like everyone else. I'm first a child of God. We're all children of God if you are in Christ. Maybe you find your identity as a student. I get straight A's. I'm a great student. That's who I am. Maybe you find your identity in one of your talents. I can do this. Like my younger brother, he can ride the unicycle, which is really cool. I cannot ride the unicycle. He is known on campus as the guy who rides a unicycle. Where are you finding your identity? Maybe it's your personality. You have a charming personality or something like that, and like that's where I can charm people to death. Maybe it's one of your hobbies. I do this cool thing, and that's who I am. I can do this really neat thing. Maybe you find your identity in being popular or being very unpopular. Maybe you find your identity in sports and some sport that I excel at. Maybe you find your identity in music and playing a musical instrument very well. And I could go on and on and on. Again, none of those things are bad. None of those things are bad. But we must glorify God in those things. But when it all comes down, we need to be finding who we are first and foremost, and how God defines us. And God defines us as in Christ, as one of His children. So who are you? You are a child of God. You are a forgiven sinner. You are a part of God's family. You are blessed. You are chosen. You are adopted. You are forgiven. You are an heir of God. That is who you are. Don't forget it. Your identity in Christ is absolutely secure and never disappointing. So finding your identity in Christ is great. It's freeing. That's how you're made if you're a Christian, to find your identity in who God says you are. Are you striving to find your identity as a person? Are you tirelessly trying to improve in a certain area of your life that defines you? Let me encourage you to find rest in Jesus today. Rest in what Jesus has done for you, not in trying to do something that defines you as a person. Again, God gives us many earthly callings as parents. as husbands and wives in our jobs, they're all great things that God wants us to do for His glory. But when we make them idols in our hearts, it's wrong. And we need to be first and foremost defined as a child of God, as someone who has been forgiven as one of His. So where is your identity? And I hope today that if you're a Christian, you can say, I'm defined by what Jesus has done for me. I'm defined that I am a child of God. Number three, what are you doing with your blessings? What are you doing with your blessings? I skipped over three very important verses in this passage that all sound the same note. Verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace. Verse 12, to the praise of His glory. And verse 14, to the praise of His glory. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together to accomplish our salvation so that our lives can resound in praise to God's beauty and excellence. The good news about the gospel is that it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about God and what God has done in Christ Jesus. It's all about God saving us in Christ Jesus. The riches that God has given you, the riches that we have unpacked here, and there's more still to come, the riches that God has given you are not to be spent on ourselves, but are to be spent in the praise of God. So, God has forgiven us, adopted us, chosen us, etc., so that we can be to the praise of His glory. So, we're not like the Dead Sea. The Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea and is stagnant and salty. It doesn't go anywhere. We're supposed to be conduits or rivers of God's grace. We pass it on to others. We pass it on in praise to God. So you are richly blessed in Christ. You are a spiritual trillionaire if you are in Christ Jesus. What are you doing with it? Are you using it to praise God? Are you using it to bless others? Or are you spending it all on yourselves? Now you will wonder, you say, Jonathan, what am I really supposed to do with this identity thing? Well, I know I'm in Christ, so how does that help me live my life from day to day when I go to work tomorrow? Let me say this. Who you are determines what you do. Who you are determines what you do. And so in Ephesians, Paul gives three chapters of who we are in Christ, and chapters 4 to 6 says this is how you live in response to who you are. So if you're a cat, you act a certain way. If you're a dog, you act a certain way. If a cat wakes up and realizes it's a dog, it will start acting a different way. So if you are a Christian, there is a certain way you will act as you find your identity in Christ Jesus. So who are you? Well, where are you? Are you in Christ or not? That is the question. And if you are in Christ, is that defining you, or is it something else in your life that's defining you? And since you have been so richly blessed in Christ, are you blessing Him and are blessing others? So let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that we would never tire of hearing what Christ has done for us, that we would never tire of praising Your name because we have been chosen and forgiven and adopted. We have been blessed. We are heirs of You. We have an inheritance. Thank You that we are Your children. Thank You that we can be part of Your family. And I pray that our lives, individually and as a church, would resound to the praise of the glorious grace that You have given us in Christ. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.